And it's time for Sportsline on WMIC 660. Sportsline brought to you by these fine sponsors: Grab Chevrolet Buick, Thumb Cellular, Tri-County Equipment, Liberty Lanes, the Ball Insurance Agency, Kohler Oil and Propane, Bench Warmers, and More Motor Sales. With this week's edition of Sportsline, here's Cliff Amey.
Good morning, Stan, and thanks for the introduction here. Big week in week four here. We start right off with the Deckerville Eagles knocking off the Peck Pirates. They won 38-0. That takes Deckerville to 4-0. Peck falls to 3-1. Moving down the line for the local games, we have the Sandusky Redskins got their first win of the season. They knocked off Memphis 52-0. Sandusky goes to 1-3. Memphis is now 0-4. Over in at Harbor Beach, it was the Marlette Red Raiders playing Harbor Beach very tough, falling 34-32. That makes Harbor Beach go 3-1, and Marlette falls to 0-4. Ubley at Brown City at Ubley. Ubley got victorious there with a 28-6 win. Ubley's now 4-0, and Brown City's 0-4. In the Mid-Michigan League, the Carsonville Tigers fell. Nice long charge back into the game, but they did fall to Caseville, 40-36. Carsonville falls to 1-3, and Caseville is now 2-2. Game we did last night on WTGB 92.5, the Croslex Pioneers won against the Elmont Raiders, 42-28. Croswell goes to 3-1. Elmont falls to 2-1. Other games in the BWAC, we had Algonac knocking off KPAC 4-0. Algonac goes to 4-0, I'm sorry, and it's 40-0 for the win there against KPAC. Richmond and Yale. Richmond prevailed there at 27-20. Richmond goes to 4-0. Yale now falls to 2-2. Other games in the BWAC, we find Armada victorious over Emily City, 35-24. Armada is now 2-2 and 1-3 overall. And in the GTC West, the state-ranked Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers are now 4-0, defeating Reese 26-20. Reese falls to 3-1. Other games, Vassar knocked off Bad Axe 24-22. Vassar's now 2-2, and Bad Axe is 1-3. USA Patriots were victorious over the Cass City team. They won 24-20. USA is 3-1, and Cass City is now 1-3. Moving into the NCTL. Last night, Morris knocked off New Haven. Morris now goes to 2-2. North Huron falls to 0-4. In the other games here, we find Mayville victorious, 36-14. Mayville's 2-2. Dryden is now 2-2. A game that we'll have to report on next week, we have Big Roads Crossroads Academy at Kingston. That's a game that's today. Another Saturday game, we find that Hale is at New Haven Merritt. Last night, Owen Gage knocked off Burton Madison, 43-32. Owen Gage is now 4-0. Burton Madison falls to 1-3. Akron Fairgrove lost against Flint International, 44-0. Flint International now goes 2-2. Akron falls to 0-4. In other games in the local area, we find Marysville knocks off Marine City. Marysville goes to 4-0. Marine City falls to 0-4. The score of that ball game was 56-32. In another game, Port Huron Northern goes to 3-1 with a victory over a St. Clair Saints team, 30-19. St. Clair falls to 2-2. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about other things in the area when we come back.
Once in a while, good fortune is on your side. You need a new pickup, and because they recently bought two additional truckloads of Ford F-150s, More Motor Sales of Carroll now has the largest selection of F-150s in Huron, Sanilac, and Tuscola counties. They're offering the best rebates and incentives in the history of the F-150, up to $15,000 off MSRP, and that's the best ever. Hurry to More Motor Sales of Carroll for the best selection, the best discounts, and the best deals, because when they're gone, they're gone.
Last night in Croslex, a game you heard here on WTGB 92.5, Croslex was victorious over the Elmont Raiders 48-20. Joe Hayden did a great job last night. He ended up with 437 rushing yards on that night and was just a terrific all-around player. Quarter scores for this game last night, Croslex started out with 13 in the first, 13 in the second, 8 and 14. Elmont went 0, 14, 0, 14 for 28 points total. First quarter scores went to Joe Hayden. He had an 8-yard run with Johnson with the kick. The second score was Joey Johnson, a six-yard pass to Justin Johnson, and the kick was no good. Into the second quarter, Hayden had a 4-yard run, followed up by a kick by Johnson. Elmont got on the board with Kaczynski's 31-yard run, and a kick was good. Croslex then followed up with a 65-yard scamper from Joe Hayden. The kick was no good. Chapman followed Elmont with a 3-yard run. In the third quarter, Hayden had a 7-yard run, and Johnson attempted the 2-point conversion was no good. And into the fourth quarter, Chapman with a 3-yard run from Elmont and had the kick was good. Croslex then followed up with a Hayden run for 14 yards. The pass was good. And then Elmont had followed them right back again with an 8-yard run, and Revolt had the kick was good. And then Austin Smith finished out the scoring for the Croslex Pioneers with a 10-yard run. We had the opportunity to sit down and talk to Coach Grunman, and here's the interview to follow. Good morning, and we're talking to Coach Garrett Grunman, Croslex fine coach over there for the Pioneers. Coach, congratulations on a great victory last night.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Guys, it was fun to watch you guys play last night. I love the way you play offense. You know, your defense stepped up when it needed to there in the second half. But let's talk a little bit about that offense. You had a young man, Joe Hayden, have a terrific game last night.
Yeah, absolutely. He had a good ball game for us, and, you know, so did that offensive line that was up there blocking for him on a good game as well.
Yeah, we talked about him last night, or the offensive line, quite a bit last night there, and there was times where you could have drove a truck through the hole that they opened up, and there was other times it was just a small gap, and boy, can he turn sideways and find that gap. He is a terrific running back, just doesn't need much, does a good job of watching where we're letting the block develop, and just a lot of good downfield blocking as well by your receivers.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a great athlete, and for him not being able to, or not playing football since his freshman year in high school, he's done a great job for us. And, yeah, we're definitely very excited, and, you know, we got to commend that O-line as well. They did a great job for him blocking.
So, Coach, we talked prior to the game there. You talked about not having to show much of your passing attack. There was a point in the game last night that you did put the ball in the air, and the passing attack looked very good. You know, the combination between Luke Wilson and Johnston there, they've played football together for a while.
Yeah, they have. They've been playing football since they were 9 years old together, and their ability to communicate and do some nice things for us are going to help us. And we're extremely glad that they're a couple of captains for us, and they do really well together. And also our other receivers do a fine job as well, so we're happy.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the adjustment off of into the second half defensively. Elmont is a very strong team. They can really run the football. They were having some success with a little bit of a trap type of look there and getting downfield on you guys. You guys made some adjustments coming out of the halftime there. Can we talk a little bit about what the defensive coordinators were seeing there and what they did to adjust to that?
Well, you know, we got to commend Elmont. They're a good football team. They had an early turnover, which kind of inevitably put them in a hole early. But their ability to run the ball off tackle is extremely good for them. And then they were able to do some inside trapping in our A gaps and kind of kept our D-line and our linebackers off balance there. But we made an adjustment that, kind of set us up for some success in the second half and limited the long runs and kind of helped us draw the clock out a little bit more. So, you know, they were still able to run the ball, but, you know, limiting the long runs and kind of drawing from that clock helped us out in the long run.
They had a great big offensive, I think he was their center and a defensive lineman there, number 55. He was creating havoc all night. Biscorner and Galbraith there were kind of double-teaming him at times there, but they do have a terrific ball club there. They're going to win some ball games.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they have a good coaching staff, great athletes. Every year in and year out, they're going to go in there and they're going to battle. And for being a Division V football team, it's a completely, they're extremely competitive, And I don't doubt that they do well in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, it just the size they have across the line, they matched you guys almost size for size there. Really impressive display. It was just a really nice fall night for football. You guys look terrific. But let's look ahead for 1 week. You've got Algonac next week, correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, are you guys hosting them at home? I've got Algonac at your place.
No, we are at Algonac.
Okay.
We're at Algonac, and it's their homecoming. So our kids have to come out ready to play. And you know, we've been kind of dabbling a little bit, looking at some film and watching. And their defense is extremely fast. Their D-line, they're not super big, but they definitely shoot at our, you know, O-linemen's ankles and knees and limit penetration. But, you know, some adjustments and things that we see that we can execute. And, you know, they're a good ball club. They're 4-0 for a reason. They play good football.
Well, I thought that they were a surprise in the BWAC last year with Algonac, and they ended up going on, and I think they tied for the league title. And, you know, they're back again there, so they're doing something well over there.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got a great coaching staff. Coach Barnhart out there, he does a great job. Their defense has been extremely tough the past couple of years. You know, you don't go, you know, what is it, 1-8 or 2-7, and then the next year, go 11-1 or 11-2 or whatever they were, you know, without having a good coaching staff. They made the adjustments they needed to, and they're playing good football. So you know, sometimes you just gotta bear down and play your own football and execute and tell the kids, you know, it's sometimes you just gotta get out there, do your job, and if you win your one-on-ones, hopefully at the end of the night you can say you won your ball game.
Well, again, congratulations, Coach. What a great victory for your team. It was a fun night to do the broadcast, and we're looking forward to doing you guys in the future.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And back we are. We're on the phone right now with Craig Jacobson, the fine football coach from the Sandusky Redskins. Coach, congratulations on the victory last night.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I see you guys got past Memphis 52-0. It's got to feel good to get that first win.
Yeah, it feels real good to get in the win column, you know, I think we're about 40 days into the season, and the kids have, you know, been working really hard, and we had a lot of, you know, we got some young kids that have been thrown rest of the action, and you know, those first 3 weeks we played three playoff teams, and that was a lot for kids, a group of kids that don't have a lot of experience. So this week was real nice. It was real nice fun because we came out, we competed, we took a step forward, we did a real good job right from the start. So it was a nice victory for us.
Yeah, I've kind of watched your team. We did a lot of the broadcast there last year, Coach. And, you know, the last year's team was just 1-5-year, 1-6-year program. You just, everything came together. This year you've got some young players. You're getting them ready, and they're improving every week, and that's what you want to see as a coach.
Yep. You know, every day in practice we're looking to take steps forward. And week by week, as we go through the season, we want to continue to take those steps forward. You know, the kids, they've worked really hard. They've done everything we've asked of them, and they got a great attitude. And, you know, there's something there to build off of.
Right, and that's, you know, I know your history, you know, where you come from, Coach. We've talked about it on the air a lot. That's about building a program, getting some of these younger players ready to step up. You're going to be in week five next week. You're going to go against a Harbor Beach team that you kind of dismantled last year. They're going to want to come in here into your place and get a victory, but I like the way that your team is improving. Should be a very good ball game.
Yeah, I think, you know, throughout the remainder of the season, I think we're going to have various checkpoints, you know, where we're going to be able to get a good gauge of where we're at in that process. You know, this process doesn't happen overnight, and you know, I think next Friday is going to be that first true gauge of where we're at, and that's where, you know, and then we got to move on from there. But Harbor Beach is going to be a good team, and I think our kids are going to be ready.
Well, Harbor Beach is traditionally always gritty, always well coached, and that translates over into their basketball program. So that's where I'm familiar with them, Coach. And in looking at the team that you have right now, you've got a bunch of underclassmen, but that underclassmen class has been very successful in a lot of sports, And so, you know, you might be a year away from being back towards the dominant team that you were, but you do have some games on the schedule that you're going to be right in and you get a chance to win.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's more getting the kids to understand that level of competition, you know. There's in competition, you know, that trust factor with your teammates is so important, and that's what allows them to play fast and play together, and we're still involved in that process, you know, really doing their job and trusting that the guy next to them is going to do their job, and we're moving in that direction, but we're not there yet, but these kids are, you know, they're very willing. They're very, very willing to want to learn and want to get better. And that's, you know, and that's a positive.
So last night for scoring for you guys in the first quarter, we had Brian Ross with a 3-yard run, and a guy that's near and dear to my heart, Braxton Washey, finished that up with a 2-point conversion. These are some of your underclassmen here. You replaced some really good players on the offensive line last year. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, not only your players that were running the football there, but a little bit of your offensive line, if you would?
Yeah, I mean, we're young up front too. You know, anchoring that center is Ben Krieger, who's a sophomore also. And, you know, last night, you know, Ben did, you know, they shifted into a different defense, and Ben made some calls on that inside trap, and very savvy for a sophomore kid to do what he did. We really didn't even practice against that even front this week, and he did a great job. At guard, we have Landon Paplinski and Jared Tubbs. The guard position is very important in our offense, and those two kids they're two of our finer linemen. And, you know, they've improved a lot. You know, early on in the season, we've had to do a lot of stuff going back to the basics, majoring in the minors and working on footwork and things of that nature. And those two have gotten a lot better. And there's still a lot to improve there, too. Tackles, we have Tristan Hoff and Grant Sheridan. You know, Grant's our only senior on that offensive line, and Grant's leader. And everything that we have asked Grant this entire season, he stepped up and been that guy. He sacrifices for the team. He's a great kid, and he's played guard for it. Last week he played guard for us. This week he played tackle. You know, he's smart, and he's an extremely hard worker, does everything you ask. And then at the tight end positions, we have Jim Brown and Connor Erb. Jim's one of our captains, and Jim could be a very good football player if he stays the course. He's got some size. He's got some athletic ability catching the ball. Connor's improved. There's another kid at the beginning of the season. He was really, really green. But that kid has worked extremely hard to, you know, get where he's at. So we're really proud, you know, our line's a work in progress. But, you know, Tristan Hoff, our starting left tackle, you know, there's a kid that he worked his tail off in the weight room all off season. And so he's made strides from last year as a JV player. So, I'm really proud of those guys. And we still have work to do, though. I mean, we're still a work in progress.
Well, good there, Coach. So I always like to make sure we talk about the offensive line, the defensive line, because they just traditionally don't get their names in the paper. I see that you've got three running backs last night that went over 100 yards with Wheeler, Ross, and Washey. That's something to look forward to as well.
Yeah, I mean, and again, that's still a work in progress, too. You know, we've done a little bit better job of running through initial contact. Those yards after contact, those are something that we had very little of week one, and those have been baby steps forward. These kids, the expectation of, you know, what they need to do when they do get the ball, and it's not just what the line gives them, but what are they going to give us beyond that? You know, that line's up there working hard, and they're going to give those backs something on most plays, and those backs have to, you know, get that little extra.
Yeah, you know, that was something that was very obvious in your teams last year. You know, when Tucker got the ball, there maybe sometimes the smallest player on the field, but it takes three or four players to bring him down. And then Casey Hyatt did the same thing for you guys there towards the end of the season. Two really strong running backs. That's something that those young players can really look forward to trying to emulate those two because they were terrific players for you.
Yeah, and it wasn't just those two. I mean, it was Ray DeVaught and Joe Stone. Those kids, you know, and again, they were sophomores too. When we started, those kids, you know, besides Casey, who wasn't here, but those other three kids, they were sophomores, and they went through those trials and tribulations. And it's tough. It's tough. There's tough days. There's tough days in that learning process, and we're going to get there. We're going to get there. It's just going to be a matter of when we get there. But I have a lot of confidence in these kids, and I'm very proud of, you know, their willingness to work, their willingness to learn, and their willingness to be committed.
Again, Coach, congratulations on the victory last night against Memphis, 52-0. You go to 1-0 in the conference play, 1-3 overall. Looking forward to seeing you guys next week against Harbor Beach.
Thank you very much, Cliff. I appreciate it. Thanks for the coverage.
Last night in the Deckerville area, the Deckerville Eagles defeated the Peck Pirates 38-0. Scoring went like this for the Deckerville Eagles. Saldana with a 2-yard run, and the run failed. Fritch with a 20-yard scamper. Brendan Hanley completed that play with a 2-point conversion. In the second quarter, John Ridley, a 15-yard pass from Brandon Patello, the run failed. Fritch again with an 11-yard run. Third quarter, it was all Fritch again for a 2-yard run. And in the fourth quarter, it was Hanley with a 16-yard run. Deckerville improves to 4-0. We had the opportunity to sit down and talk to Coach Bill Brown.
Good morning, and we're talking to Coach Bill Brown, the fine Deckerville Eagles coach. Coach, congratulations on the 38-0 victory against the Peck Pirates last night.
Thank you, Cliff.
Talk a little bit about the game there. 38-0 is kind of a convincing win, but I know that Peck Pirate team, they're improving.
Yeah, and they're pretty young. Coach McDaniel's doing a great job. They're able to get a couple stops on us in the first half defensively. We shot ourselves in the foot a couple of times with some untimely penalties, but we got out to a lead in the first quarter, and then at halftime definitely want to improve on the penalty side of it, but overall it was a great defensive effort by far.
Talk about a little bit of some of the players that played really well for you last night, Bill.
We'll just start off with that offensive line. Did a great job. We knew going in that Peck was going to throw the kitchen sink at us, and they pretty much did as far as fronts. Our offensive line of Wyatt Janowak, Kurt Vogel, Zach Asher, Reese Bays Kramer, John Ridley, and Kyler Williams, who was coming in at offensive end, did a great job communicating, making adjustments, and ran the ball well. We had over 300 yards total offense, so you're doing some good things there, of course. Defensively, another great effort by our young men, led by Austin Spatzel, of course, and Reese Bays Kramer. John Ridley had a great game. So we're getting a lot of good things happening, and we just want to improve.
Well, that's certainly something you guys have done week in and week out. It's always fun to see you guys play, and what the level of discipline is always the thing that impresses me with your teams, Coach. Looking a little bit forward now, I was looking at some scores. I see that Mayville team is putting some scores up.
You know, we scrimmaged them early, and they have some good size, and they got some speed. So as they, you know, they got to get acclimated to the 8-man game, which there's a little learning curve. But once they get things going, I think they're gonna start getting better each week.
So, Coach, you got Rudyard next week. What do you know about them?
Well, I know they're 3-1, so we're playing and looking at their schedule, it looks like they're gonna win 7 games at least, and they put up a lot of points. So I think they're averaging over 40, might be 50. And they scored 68 points last night. We're going to be a great challenge for our young men, and especially defensively.
I'm familiar with them, Bill, from the basketball days back when we used to take our show on the road in the summertime and get up there. We always seem to match up with them in some of the tournaments. Seem to have a very athletic team there. That's a strong community and with a lot of pride.
Yeah, and you know, and they're a C school, and that's the thing on our schedule. We do play three C schools, so they're going to have some kids. You know, they're going to have some speed. They're scoring that many points. And the other thing is, we got five hour bus trip plus to get up there. That's going to be the greatest challenge for us, is going to be able to get that bus ride out of there. You know, we have, you know, in talking to the kids last night, you know, Deckerville football program has never beat a UP team ever. So in football, so we are we definitely have some motivation going up there. Got to get that bus ride out of us and play some great defense. Don't turn the ball over, like you said, Cliff. Be disciplined and hopefully we can come out of there with a win. But we're playing another. You know, our non-league schedule is just, you know, Fife Lake won again last night, and so our non-league schedule is going to carry us through and hopefully give us a lot of playoff points. So. Well, get mentally prepared and for that long trip, and hopefully play some good ball and get in the win.
That's been always something that's been kind of your bell mark there, if you will, Bill. You're not afraid to go play the teams that are going to show you where you need to improve, getting ready for the playoffs.
Well, yeah, just like we've learned a lot this year, you know. And last night might have been, you know, we missed a lot of 2-point conversions, which to me is pretty important, especially the way, you know, we don't kick extra points. So that's one thing we got to work on, you know, and I think we ironed out some things discipline-wise. You know, you got to make some mistakes to learn from them, Cliff, you know that. So that's I think we got a lot out of last night, that was for sure. So hopefully we're going to take another step as a quality football team.
Well, again, Coach, congratulations. 4-0 going into Week 5, traveling up to the UP. Looking forward to seeing that score next week.
At Moore Motor Sales in Caro, we are proud to offer you the latest inventory of new and pre-owned vehicles and the most competitive prices in the area. Your favorite vehicles from Ford, Lincoln, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram are ready to roll. Check out our inventory online or stop and see us today. Like us on Facebook and get the latest news and be the first to see what's new on our lot. Come see why your friends and neighbors are driving to Caro. That's Moore Motor Sales, just west of Caro on M81. Enjoy the game.
Taking a look at the league standings in the area, sticking with the NCTL, Deckerville leads that out at 2-0, and they're 4-0 overall, followed by Peck at 2-1, 3-1. Dryden comes in at 2-1 and 2-2 overall. Kindy North Huron is 0-2 and 0-3 for the season. Kingston falls into the 0-3, 0-4 overall. And then Mayville is at 1-1 and 2-2 overall, and that's the NCTL standings. Moving into the Mid-Michigan League. Okay, Hale comes in at 1-0, 3-0 overall, followed by Owen Gage at 2-0, 4-0 overall. New Haven Merritt Academy comes in 1-1 and 3-1 overall. CPS slips to 1-1 and 1-3 overall. Akron comes in 0-2 and 0-4. Burton Madison 0-2 and 1-3 overall. Caseville at 1-1 and 1-3. And Flint International comes in at 1-1 and 2-2 overall. Moving into the GTC. Ubley comes in, the conference play opened last night, but Ubley comes in 1-0. Harbor Beach comes in 1-0, and Sandusky comes in 1-0, and they're 1-3 overall, followed up by Brown City, 0-1, Marysville at 0-1, and Memphis at 0-1. Moving over into the GTC West, Lakers come in 1-0, followed by USA 1-0, Vassar is 1-0, and then Reese comes to 0-1, Cass City is 0-1, and Bad Axe is also 0-1. In the BWAC, Richmond leads the lead right now at 3-0, followed right by, closely, or actually tied up with Algonac at 3-0. Croslex comes in at 2-1. Also 2-1 is Armada, followed by Yale at 1-2. Elmont's at 1-2. And KPAC and Emily City are both tied at 0-3. Games that we're going to be looking at next week here, the schedule looks like this. Croslex travels down to Algonac. Harbor Beach will be at Sandusky. Brown City at Memphis. Marlette at Ubley. CPS is at Hale. Peck is at Toledo Horizon in Ohio. Deckerville travels up to Rudyard. And in the BWAC, other games. Elmont is at Armada. KPAC at Richmond. Emily City at Yale, and over in the GTC West, Cass City at the Lakers. They're a state-ranked team. They're now a number four ranked team in the state in Division Four. I'm sorry, that's Division Seven. We're moving on into Reese is at Vassar. Bad Axe is at USA. And in the NCTL, Dryden is at Marion. Mayville is at Morris. North Huron at Kingston. And into the Mid-Michigan League, Burton Madison travels to New Haven Merritt. Akron is at Owen Gage. And Caseville is at Flint International. Back other scores in the area last night. The Caseville Eagles defeated the Carsonville Port Sanilac Tigers 40-36. Quarter scores went like this. CPS started out 14 for the first quarter, 0 for the second, 8 and 14 for a total of 36. Caseville went 14, 14, 6 and 6 for a total of 40. Scoring for the CPS Tigers in the first quarter, Justin Ritchie with a 55-yard run. The run was conversion was good. Austin Smith with a 2-yard run, and the run was no good there in the second for that 2-point conversion. In the second quarter, CPS pitched a shutout. They did not score. And into the third quarter, they got a run score there, and the run was good. Did not list on who got that scoring. Moving into the fourth quarter, Justin Ritchie again with a 6-yard run. The run was good. Followed up with his scoring was Ritchie with a 9-yard run. Run was no good. The CPS Tigers fall to 1-3. They're 1-1 overall in the Mid-Michigan League. Over we're in Yale, where Richmond defeated Yale 27-21. The quarter scores went like this. Richmond jumped out at 20 points in the first quarter, 0 in the second, 7 in the third, and 0 in the fourth for a total of 27. Yale went 7-7-7 in the first three quarters, did not score in the fourth quarter, following it, and that puts Yale at 1-2 in the league. Scoring for the Richmond Blue Devils, Tavano with a 65-yard pass for the first score. The kick was no good. The second score was Tavano again with a 69-yard pass from Churchill. The kick was good. Churchill followed that scoring up for the 20th point there with a 2-yard run. The kick was good. And into the third quarter, the Yale Bulldogs had a score there. Andrew Phillips got a 4-yard run. Smesnak's kick was good. Followed then into the third quarter, Smesnak also had a 7-yard run. Smesnak had the kick. And Richmond, in the third quarter, the 5-yard pass from Churchill, the kick was good. Moving into the fourth quarter there, the Richmond ended up both pitching shutouts. No scoring there, so the final score was 27-21. Another game of interest in the area that most sports fans in the area follow, Marysville goes to 4-0. Marine City falls to 0-4, and it's been a long time since Marine City's been 0-4. That puts Marysville, they're a state-ranked team, in first place into that league. Moving on to the Greater Thumb Conference boys soccer, and thanks to North Schramm for getting me this information. In the North, USA leads 2-0. Harbor Beach is 1-1. Bad Axe is 1-1, and Lakers are 0-2. Scores in the North this past week, Harbor Beach defeated Bad Axe 2-1. USA defeated Lakers 8-1. Marlette defeated Brown City 5-1. And Dryden beat Memphis 3-2. Other scores on the 14th of this past week, Bad Axe 8 over the Lakers 8-1. USA 1-0 over Harbor Beach. Memphis 6, Brown City 2. And Marlette 6, Dryden 2. South standings in the Greater Thumb Conference. Marlette's up top with 2 and no losses. Dryden is 1-1. Memphis is 1-1, and Brown City falls to 0-2. Moving on to GTC volleyball standings. In the East, Marlette's up top with 1 victory, no losses. Brown City at 1-0. Harbor Beach at 1-1. Ubley at 1-1. Sandusky falls to 0-1. Memphis is 0-1. In the West Division, Reese is up top 1-0. Bad Axe 1-0. Cass City is 1-0. Lakers are 0-1. USA 0-1. And Vassar 0-1. On Tuesday, September 13th, Ubley beat Harbor Beach. And on Thursday, September 15th, Brown City beat Memphis. Marlette beat Ubley. Harbor Beach beat Sandusky. Bad Axe beat Vassar. Reese beat Lakers. And Cass City beat USA. We had the opportunity here early to sit down and talk to the fine coach at the Brown City Green Devils, Jenna Welke, and that'll follow right now.
Good morning, and we're talking to the fine volleyball coach from Brown City, Jenna Welke. Jenna, congratulations on the season so far. You guys are doing a great job. Fun to watch you guys from a distance.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a fun season so far. We've got a good group of girls this year.
Let's talk a little bit about a tournament that I seen about a week ago there where you, I think you guys were in Port Huron. You played some of the better teams in the area, traditionally had a lot of success.
Yeah, we saw a lot of good teams. Are you talking about the Croslex one?
I guess it was Croslex. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Croslex. Yep. Yeah, we got to play North Branch, which was a lot of fun because they are just a phenomenal team. So it was definitely eye-opening for us to see that level. We played some other, we got to play Croslex and Marysville again. But it was just some very good volleyball and definitely walked away a learning experience after that tournament.
You guys have made a long run in the state tournament last year. That's exactly what I think the secret is in the local sports teams is go play the competition that you need to see because you have to be ready for things that you sometimes you just frankly don't see in your own league.
Oh, definitely. Especially like that North Branch loss last weekend. I think that loss to them was way better and taught us way more than any of our previous wins could. I think you need to just get beat up a little bit and see that competition if you want to be successful.
Coach, putting your program together there, I've noticed you're starting to put some players into the college level. Can you talk a little bit about that and, you know, what you've got maybe that's on your team right now that is going to have a chance to play at the next level?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's always a huge bonus when you have girls that are wanting to play and wanting to take that next step to the next level. I definitely have a couple of girls right now that are looking and I'm not sure exactly what they want right now, but we're trying to just give them as many options as possible, so getting their name out there.
Cool, good. I think Sky Willer is playing college ball right now, if I'm correct.
She is, and she's had a very successful first season last year, and she's doing well this year.
Now, she is at Macomb, is that correct, or where is
yep.
she?
Yeah. Yep, she's at Macomb.
Okay, you've got Alexa. She's a nice player for you guys. She's going to have a chance probably to play at the next level.
She is. She's unsure what she wants to do right now, but she's got definitely a lot of options. She's got some schools looking at her, and same with Becky Krause. So we're seeing what we can do for them.
Well, good. Coach, you played 4 years at a college level here. Talk to me a little bit about what you're bringing from that experience to putting your program together there at Brown City.
I was very grateful to play under three very good coaches at Oakland. So I think just like the way I run my practices and just my coaching style, I try to take a lot away from them. They just had a very successful, they built that program up when it wasn't the best, and now they have a very successful program at Oakland. So I just try to base my program what I was taught, how they taught me, and how they ran things over there. So I think it's definitely a benefit.
Well, good, good. Fun to watch you guys. Looking forward to seeing how the rest of the season goes. Coach, if you would talk to me for a quick minute here about your competition in your league here. Who else besides yourself is going to be able to give you guys a game?
I think Sandusky definitely has a lot of great athletes this year. They gave us a little run on Saturday at Croslex, so they should be pretty competitive. And honestly, Ubley has really turned around from last year. They have a new coach in there, and I can see he's doing a lot of good things with the program right now. So we've played them, and they were very scrappy.
Well, good. Again, Coach, congratulations on the success so far this season. Looking forward to seeing you guys again and talking to you later in the season.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's a wrap for this week of Sportsline here. Next week, we got a couple of key games that we're going to be focusing in on. We have Croslex at Algonac. Croslex is going to have to keep pace here if they want to stay in the BWAC league. And the other game that's going to be very interesting is at Harbor Beach at Sandusky. Looking to see how much that Sandusky Redskins team has improved against a Harbor Beach team that's always traditionally strong. Thanks and take good care. We'll see you next week.